Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder if you like Fridays as much as I do. The weekend is right around the corner, right? This morning, I'm thinking about a terrible reality that you probably experience often as I do. People who don't keep their promises, or people who give advice and then do something very different from the advice they gave. May I ask, how do you protect your heart from being wounded by people like that? We're walking through the little letter written by James, the half-brother of Jesus. It's in the New Testament of the Bible, and we're in the first chapter. Today, let's look at verse 19 to 27. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. If it helps you to understand, you can substitute the word holy for the word righteous. Yes, we know God desires that we live holy lives. In fact, Peter wrote, "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do," 1 Peter 1:15. So may I ask, how strong is your desire for living a holy life, living a God-honoring life? This hunger is one of the genuine evidences of a person who has been authentically saved by Jesus and the Holy Spirit is alive and working in their life. Have you discovered the power of listening? We see James here said we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Does that describe you and me? We learn much more when we listen than when we talk, don't we? Wisdom is found in listening. May I give you a few wise words from King Solomon about this? Proverbs 21:23, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity." Proverbs 17:27 and 28, "A man of knowledge uses his words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." Proverbs 18, verse 13, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." And one more, Proverbs 15, 1, 2, and 3, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commands knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." As you can see, my friends, Proverbs is filled with practical wisdom that can be very, very helpful to living life wisely and without regret. May I urge you to drink from the fountain of Proverbs very often, maybe a little every day. So James calls us to recognize the danger of talking too much, listening too little, and moving too quickly to losing our self-control and turning angry. Do you agree with James's summary statement? For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous or holy life that God desires. And what specific best practices have you learned for guarding your tongue so you don't say things you'll regret, or speaking more than you listen, or letting your emotions get carried away into anger? What wisdom do you share with your kids and grandkids about this? And how do they respond? Have you shared some of that wisdom with them lately? I like how James doesn't mince words. He doesn't beat around the bush. With James, it's straight talk. Listen, James 1:21. "Get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." I have a cousin who's a very good dentist. I trust him. I admit to you, I grew up with dentists using very old equipment, and it was a painful experience for me. Oh, when I heard it was time to see the dentist, I could hardly sleep at night as a boy. It's much different now. But I understand that the dentist has a very important decision to make that is a mirror of the decision you and I have every day. When we see the decaying bad stuff in our lives, what do we do about that? We can ignore it and hope it will simply go away or not hurt our lives too much. That's never a good idea, is it? Or we can pretend and simply cover it over, like painting over mold or telling the dentist to simply put a cover over the decay in our tooth. Again, a very bad idea, right? Or we can root out the decay, clean the place where the decay was, and replace the decay with wonderful solid stuff that we can build our future on. That's what a good dentist does, right? Now, it might hurt a bit, especially if the decay is deep, But in the long run, getting the decay out is the only wise thing to do, right? Isn't that what James is talking about here? Can you identify the stuff that James calls moral filth and evil that might be taking root in your life? And are you courageous enough to root it out, my friends? Have you noticed simply going through normal life, our clothes get dirty and need to be washed once in a while? It's the same with our hearts and our minds, isn't it? We live in a world filled with such moral filth and evil that we can't escape it, and it affects us. Sometimes it finds a weak spot in our hearts or minds and it begins to take root. James calls us to do a self-check often, and then take action, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to clean your mind and heart from the decay you find in you, and then fill your mind and your heart with God's Word, which should be planted deeply in you. Are you doing that often, my friends? How often? Every day? I love how James calls us to be people who root God's Word so deeply in our lives that we live by it. We do what it says to do. James writes in James 1:22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Have you ever heard the phrase, "in one ear and out the other"? Or how about this one, "it's water off a duck's back"? You know what they mean, right? It describes a person who hears important, wise truth, but disregards it. They act as if they never heard it. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you understand how much it hurts when our kids or grandkids disregard our wisdom and act as if they never heard it, right? So when God is watching your life and mine, does he see us disregarding his important life truths that he has made available to us in his word? May we look at one more great truth in these few verses from James today. If anyone considers themselves religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on their tongue, they deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. James 1:26. Wow, what do you think about that? When you see a person in church, and yet during the week you know them to be a foul-mouthed liar, or someone who speaks hurtful words often to others, what stirs up in your spirit about that person and their religion? Finally, James strikes right at the bullseye of the target. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James 1:27. Now we understand Jesus has not invited us to a religion, but rather to an authentic relationship with God through him. James, as you can see, is going to be calling us to consider this powerful question over and over through his letter. How does our behavior and our words either validate or deny our claim that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord? Throughout the Bible, God calls us to be aware of the harsh reality that orphans and widows often live without the most fundamental God design for living life with a contented heart: a family. Sadly, in our day, we have millions of children who have been rejected, abandoned by their parents. And we have millions of adults whose spouses have either died or walked away, leaving their marriage vows behind and deeply wounding their spouse. An authentic relationship with Jesus awakens in us a natural love and compassion for those wounded, love-starved children and adults. What are you doing about that when you see them, my friends? So today, James is calling us to a self-evaluation, especially if you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus. I'm inviting you to go back and read these verses carefully and ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you see deep into yourself as God sees you, and then take action as Jesus leads you.